What's going on, guys? Welcome back to another episode of No Reserves Radios, and I am so rusty with that, I didn't know how to do the fucking intro. We are back. Just go on. What were you going to say? Sorry.
Instead of guys, you just straight up there, went in there, and you just said, what's up, guys?
Yeah.
Just like, bye. Okay. Bye, guys.
Okay.
Show's over.
Show's over. Nothing to see here. No, Alex did some soul searching on why he's a Seahawks fan. He might convert to the Cowboys. Or the Bears at this point. I fucked off. I don't even know what I did. I got promoted and I've been obsessed with work. And it's just been hard to fucking find time to do this shit. Alex got to enjoy life. What a fucking loser. Go ahead, Alex.
What's up, guys? Yeah, I was just talking with Angelo. I feel like I'm just getting old. Grass. I just feel like it's getting old for me. It's just like it's hard to fit things on schedule with work when all of those commitments that a person has. I got into the card hobby and all of that, so that just takes up a bit more time, and it leads to me setting up drafts a week before the season starts in our main redraft league, setting up schedules like the week of the season starting in like both of our leagues.
And the worst part of all, he doesn't know who Alec A.O. Maynor is. How? Do you not know?
Prime Alex would know who the fuck random Tennessee Titans guy that they drafted in the fourth round and apparently became a starter is, like, by the first name. And he would know all of these things about that guy. And, like, current Alex, I got surprised when his name got... Shit.
Yeah, and you know what? I think current Alex might be in a good position to actually predict something right with the predictions week one. You got it. You got the know-how. You got the insider betting. And the insider betting is not know what the fuck you're doing. Do you know Alexis does like a pick'em now? Did you know that?
No, she does.
She does. Her work has like a little pick'em. She says, fuck it, I did it. Do you know? The ultimate derby betrayal. Do you know what this bitch did?
Oh, she picked against the Bengals.
She picked the Cleveland Browns against the Bengals.
Oh, brother. That is crazy, man. That is some crazy ass shit to pull, man. I think it's time to have a serious talk, man.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
We're gonna have to have an intervention. We're gonna have to do some soul searching here. Like
to be fair though, and again, this shows you how much
I don't want to hear Bengals slow start, Browns defense stopping Joe Burrow. I don't want to hear it. No,
I'll just
you
ask.
Pick the Bengals. You pick with your heart, damn it,
brother. It's in Cleveland. When was the last time you beat the Browns in Cleveland?
I think Joe Burrow hasn't done that.
She was maybe onto something there. I'll tell you that. Speaking of Cleveland, and just a very quick side note. People really are crazy about Shedeur Sanders, man. People really think that this fifth round QB is going to be something. Especially in the card markets, in the card OVI.
With all due respect.
His autos are crazy, man.
We haven't done this in a while, so I'm on one today. With all due respect, when you are a desperate poverty franchise, so desperate that you'll pay Deshaun Watson $200 million fully guaranteed, you know what? I can see it. This is par for the course.
$250. You missed 50 there.
$250. I missed $50 million. Yeah. That could probably get him his extra mansion in like Palm Springs.
Or, you know, a few extra massages.
Wow. I was.
Is this too soon? Is it too soon?
You totally went there. You totally went there. You totally.
I don't think it's too soon right now. Like, this has been a few years. So. Hey, if it is, sorry if I offended you. But that just means we're back. We're back offending people, and we're back offending people's teams and people's favorite players.
I don't give a fuck about anyone's feelings right now.
And I want to keep this energy. we are We are not giving a fuck. Like, not a single fuck was given. So yeah. What are we going to talk about? Because there's other people that their feelings haven't been hurt in a bit. And that's that crazy mob, that crazy cult of the Justin Fields roofers.
Mm-hmm. The cult.
Because those guys.
We are official cult status at this point. I can't even pretend to act like it isn't.
Right? Like, it's like it's year five, and guys, I've just been told this is the year. This is the year that Fields puts it all together. Because you know what? He's actually in a very good team. He's in a team with a very well-built franchise, very well-built roster. There's not a lot of waves with this sort of franchise. It's a franchise known for giving their coaches time, for giving their players time.
You're still salty about Robert Saleh, huh?
It's just a team that is used to that culture. Because, you know, I've been missing like a few weeks of football and all of that. And I don't really know what team is he on. Can you help me out here, Angela? Because my mind is not what it once was.
Does it make you salty that the team that drafted Zach Wilson then signed Justin Fields?
Oh, shit. He's actually on the Jets? Oh, fuck, man. Yeah. This is definitely going to be the year, right? But at least Garrett Wilson gets to play with his college QB.
You're so in your feelings about this. It's so satisfying that like you got Mac Jones, you got Zach Wilson, and let's not forget
you know what?
Anthony Richardson, who you like put your flag. You don't put your flag down very often, Alex, but you put your flag down for Anthony Richardson, and Justin Fields still sticks around and is still reminding you that he's a starting quarterback in the NFL, and he's laughing at you, Alex. He's laughing and pointing at you all the way to the bank.
You know what? I actually wasn't going to go super hard on it because I think the Jets will break what is left of Justin Fields. And this will be the last time see him with a start. I don't know, apparently something. Give his agent a prize or something. And I think they are going to break the little rest of hope that their East fans have. So I was really going to be pushing it all that much. But the other day here in Portugal, I was having an argument with a guy that apparently, like, the Fields cult has made it to Portugal. Like, other NFL fans here.
Oh, we're
I was
live
told
baby.
The other day.
Live,
oh, yeah, it feels like that. So this guy was like, yeah, Justin Fields, man. I don't know how you think about him. But I think he's a really good QB. Like, he just needs time to get his shit together. And I think, like, this year is going to be very good. Because last year he showed you a lot of good indicators. And I'm just sitting there remembering that time that he scrambled to get a first down and he went down like two full yards short and he was celebrating like a little kid while Mike Tomlin was looking at this fuck like, what am I doing? Like, why am I not starting Russell Wilson? Why is this guy like such a dumb fuck? Like, what's wrong with people? Why is this guy employed? And I believe that was the last time like Justin Fields had a carry for the Steelers, so that's fun. Like Mike Tomlin at least realized, but apparently, like the Jets think they're gonna turn this guy around. So hey, the hardest thing for me though is that you have this guy Aaron Glenn, and this guy faced Justin Fields when he was with the Bears. What even led you to think that the guy that you faced while you were with the Lions that did absolutely fuck all with the Bears outside of giving you wins, the Lions, that is. What makes you think that you can fix this guy? And this is the guy that you want to bet your job in, especially with a job with the Jets. Like, I feel like people really want to get fired to get that severance package. That's kind of the only thing that I can imagine. You go there, you have a good time. It's New York, after all. Well, Jersey, okay. Not really New York, but it is what it is. You be there for a few years. You of course you're gonna get fired because year one it's wasted with Justin Fields. Year two you're gonna draft a QB because you're not gonna draft at the very top of the draft because Fields will run enough for you to get like two more wins than you, it would be good for you. So year one, you wasted on Fields. Year two, you draft a sub or NFL prospect. Year three, you're fired. So, hey, newsflash, guys. Aaron Glenn fired in 2 years because coaches are dumb fucks. They love reclamation projects, apparently. It's like their favorite thing in the whole world. Like, I imagine an NFL coach being like, I have this little dream. When little Aaron Glenn was sitting in a bench, he was like, I have this dream of grabbing this QB that was drafted as a top 10 guy, and he never did anything, no forfeit in the league, and I'm going to be the guy that turns it around. And like, those guys just grow up to be head coaches and run with those propositions, and sometimes the coaches get smart, like Mike Tomlin. He had that dream, apparently, but he was like, okay, this guy is a complete dumb fuck. He can't throw the football past his first read. Like, his football awareness is less than a 1 year old's. This guy is an absolute, like, lost case. So let's just bench the guy and give the reins to old, washed up Russell Wilson. And other coaches just don't get it, man. And they will get fired because of it. So, hey, Jets fans, congrats. It's another 2 years of disappointment.
Jets are used to disappointments, so it's okay.
Yeah, it makes sense that they go for Fields, I guess. A franchise that suits the player. You know what would be the best mix, though? Because this year is always the year for Justin Fields. So the best team for him is a team that is always going to be there next year. So Justin Fields to the Cowboys would actually be the dream pairing. Because it's next year's QB, next year's team. Like, it's perfect.
It's the season that never happens.
Yeah. It's like, it's good. And he will get it, like, all the amount of time that he needs in the world, because it's also going to be next year. So you're going to have, like, 40-year-old Justin Fields starting, throwing for, like, 2,000 yards and running for, like, 1,000 yards and, like, winning 5 games. But next year is going to be the year when he's 41.
When he's 41, huh?
I mean, yeah, if he goes to the Cowboys and he's just like, yeah, he's going to be there for the next 15 years.
At this point, I'm just adding to the fuel to the fire at this point. But
I think it's going to be great when he's there for 15 years. Year 16 is going to be the year, for sure. And if it's not 16, he's going to be 17. So.
Fun.
I missed the rant, you know? I missed them because there should have been something there for me to rant about, and I couldn't. So there's the rant on Justin Fields. Threw a small little rant on Shedeur Sanders, because again, people are complete fucks thinking about Justin Fields as any sort of like meaningful thinking about Shedeur Sanders as any sort of meaningful NFL player for the future. He's just going to be like the guy that every single... And this is why you don't draft that sort of guy, by the way. Because now you're going to have a whole franchise rooting for a guy that will never be anything good. And it just throws off the whole locker room. So, hey, congrats, Browns. That's like massive achievement that you guys did drafting that fuck. Okay. Do you have any rants, Angelo? So we can get out of the rant segment?
What do I want to talk about?
Not even on your team? You're
my team's a bunch of fucking cheapskates. Like, what do you want me to say? Like, oh, we're terrible for doing this to Trey Henderson. Like, no, we're not. We're not terrible. We're the Bengals. That's just synonymous. And here's the thing. Like, people think this defense is just going to be, like, the worst defense ever. Like, the reason it's the worst defense ever is because we don't have a secondary. But our pass rush is actually amazing this year. So, like, how do you... I just don't understand how you have the sack leader in your shit defense. And not just, like, a shit defense. A, like, bottom defense shit defense.
Like, and you refuse to pay him, actually.
And we refuse to pay him. And he's going to be somewhere else next year. Like, spoiler alert, that's what's going to happen. But, like...
And you then, like, you draft a guy in the first round.
And then we pay Patty Case, motherfucker!
Because that's going to be great when he needs a new contract, right? Can you imagine?
Yeah. We've really set up future negotiations to go swimmingly with Shamar Stewart. Like, at this point, I'm not sure if the better outcome is for Shamar Stewart's, like, to not develop, or if developing into the top pass rusher and then losing him a la Micah Parsons is the better outcome. But whatever. Hey.
Oh, well, AA, at least you pay T. Higgins and Jamar. So you have that going.
Yeah, at least we pay T. Higgins and Jamar.
The offense is going to be fine.
Yeah, we got Chase Brown, who we're probably going to have to pay next year, too. That's by the way, spoiler alert, Bengals fans, that's next year's saga is Chase Brown.
I don't think Chase Brown is saga worthy at this point.
Watch, he's about to ball out. He is about to win people fantasy leagues this year.
I think he's going to do great. If your team wasn't...
atrocious? Cheapskates? Terrible?
No, say, yeah.
A garbage
if your
franchise?
Team was a bunch of cheapskates for a top, what, 6 or 7 pass rusher in the league? I can only imagine what they will do.
I mean, last year he led the league in sacks. I'd argue last year he was top 5, top 3 maybe
okay.
even.
Okay, let's say top 5. I can't imagine it's going to go all that much better for a random running back.
Well, I'm saying it ain't so. Like, I don't understand. I don't understand what's so hard about being fucking competent. I don't understand. We have the best quarterback we've ever drafted. Period. End of discussion. He's better than Carson Palmer. He's better than John Kitna. He's better than Boomer Esiason. He is better. That is obvious. If you watch the fucker play, that is obvious. And we're just gonna fuck it up. We're just gonna fuck it up. Like, it's annoying. It's mind-boggling. I'm flabbergasted. Like, we should be competing with the Chiefs every fucking year. Instead, we have to worry about this bullshit and have drama going into the season. Joe Burrow just wants to play football because he's a good fucking player. And, like, what do you do? What are you going to do? Fuck you, Mike Brown.
Well,
like... Go on. Sorry. That was my rant.
I think it's a very solid rant. Like, the team needs to... I don't know, when is this going to turn around? Like, I thought by now you guys wouldn't be, like, one of the poorest franchises, if not the poorest franchise in the league at this point. I thought by now it would be a bit more closer to the rest of the pack. But apparently not. Apparently you guys are still some cheap fucks who... really aren't that you're broke basically,
and we'll always be broke bitch cheap fucks.
Yeah, I feel it. Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know if that's ever gonna change, but hey, at least you have like the perennial 8-8 Steelers laying around, and you, or I guess at this stage, is it? No, wait. It's the perennial, I guess, 9-8 now. 9-8 Steelers. And you have the Browns in your division. So you can probably make do with something. You actually have a very high team total for this year. Which you're looking at like 9.5 wins, I believe, is the line right now. But he did have, like, an MVP-worthy season, the guy at the helm last year, so anything can happen, I guess.
Anything's possible! No, it's not. I think we're going to be a playoff team one. I think the better part is Joe Burrow does have, like, a more cognitive awareness of, like, oh yeah, starting slow is, like, our blueprint at this point. And he's taken more time. He's worked more in the offseason with the wide receivers to get repertoire early, and he's played every single preseason game, at least part of it. And that's great. But at the same time, they're still the fucking Bengals. Right? But, like, don't get me wrong. I want the Bengals to go into this game, and I want them to beat the fucking bricks off the Browns. I want them to lay it on thick. I want it to be 28-0 at halftime. But, like, there's that little voice in my head that says, 3-3, 2-4. Like, I just don't know.
But speaking of win totals, do you see, I sent you the link before of the current team totals, of the current win totals for every single team in the NFL. Can you identify maybe one that you think is currently being underrated?
Because a team I think that's there's being a fair, underrated?
Yeah, that you think is like the win total really doesn't match up.
Let me see. Where you sent me a link?
Yeah, it's on the cord.
Okay, let's see. Wing total does not match up. Where? That's betting lines. Or is that it? Over unders for all 32 teams. Let's see.
Yeah.
11.5.
Because I can see a very clear one. Actually, I can see two. And they're in the same bracket of wins.
Oh, you're going to hit me with the Houston Texans and the LA Rams.
No, I'm saying teams that are underrated at this point, not the overrated. Oh,
underrated.
Team.
Okay. Let's go down.
Underrated,
let's go
down. Yeah.
Let's go down. The Browns at 4.5 is about right. I would argue 7.5 for the Cowboys is interesting. I think that's low.
I don't know, Jim. I don't know if that's low.
I think that's low. I actually do like the Titans at 5.5. I like that a lot. So for my money, I'm going Titans and Cowboys at 7.5. I also like the Jags and the Dolphins too.
Okay. The teams that I think are quite underrated are the two teams in the 6.5 win total. I think the Panthers and the Raiders both will have over seven wins.
No way. I don't see this.
I am thinking that the Panthers could be a sneaky team to get into double-digit wins. I think the Raiders maybe around the 8 wins.
I think you're insane. How many wins did the Raiders even have last year?
The Raiders, I believe they had like 5 or 6, if I'm not mistaken.
Maybe. I mean, they did add Genty. They did get Geno Smith, who no matter how many times I want to tell you that he wasn't better than Derek Carr.
They actually were 4-13, the Raiders.
4-13. Okay, then yeah, that's probably about right then for the progression. 2-3 wins.
And the Panthers, The Panthers were 5-12.
What do you see out of the Panthers? If anything, the Panthers should be less the wins. What do you see? Show me the vision. Where's the vision?
The vision is Bryce. It's simply Bryce.
You've been saying this for 3 years. What makes this year any different?
Now, the end of last year makes this very different.
Oh my God.
The end of last year, you saw Bryce Young that was dealing it. He was absolutely dealing it, and he was one of the better QBs in the NFL in the latest part of the last years.
Oh, okay.
I think you're going to be surprised. Like, last five games for Bryce Young last year, It's 1,000 yards passing. It's 9 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, 94.9 passer rating. I feel, and he played the Eagles in that stretch as well. I think that's fairly solid, man. I'll tell you. He played the Eagles, the Cowboys, the Cardinals in those last three games, in the last three games, that is. I don't know, man. I feel like Bryce really turned it around at that point. Kenny was playing very good football. Like, his first 8 games to his last 8 games were an absolutely, like, crazy difference in terms of like, his stats in general. Like, his last 3 games, actually. If I'm not mistaken, if I have the stats right, is only... Yeah, exactly. In his last 3 games, he is only one of only 3 QBs to throw for 10-plus touchdowns and no interceptions since 2000. So, like, he was improving it quite a bit. So, I think he keeps up that progression this year. And I think he really turns it around. I like the coaching staff. I like what they're doing to him. I think the benching for Andy Dalton last year really changed his mindset, really changed the wiring. And you'd see, like, a very different QB starting for them. And I like it. I think Bryce Young is going to have a very good year.
You're going to fall for this fucking trap again. You're going to pick the Giants, yeah, too? You think it's the Giants' time to shine, baby, buddy?
No. I don't think the Giants are
What about the Jaguars?
There.
I fell for that last year. What about the Jaguars?
Brother.
I might fall for it again this year.
Trevor Lawrence is like the better version of Justin Fields at this point. It's like, it's also going to be next year. He's just like a step above mediocrity.
Well, first off, Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence actually took his team to an AFC Championship game. Let's not get that twisted. But,
well, not AFC Championship, right? He got them to the divisional, I believe.
It wasn't the championship? I thought it was the championship. Regardless, he won a playoff game.
Yeah, he won. But again, it was versus the Chargers.
It was.
I don't think that counts as, like, a win.
This guy.
It counts as, like, half a win, probably.
Do you know who's really overrated, though?
What?
Fuck the Arizona Cardinals, 8.5.
You think so? I think the Cardinals are sneaky good.
No, stop this.
I don't know.
What changed?
I think it's just another year of good coaching.
Oh,
I think
my God.
Gannon is a fairly solid coach.
Oh, my God.
I think 8.5, I think they're going to be right on the edge. Like, I think worst case scenario.
Again, Kyler is going to do Kyler things. You're going to be questioning yourself, why did I have these fucks at 8.5 again?
Hey, brother, I'm all for that.
You know who's underrated on 8.5? You know who's underrated? Who? Minnesota Vikings.
Agree. I don't see. I believe they had 14 wins last year. I don't see a lot of teams going for, like, a 5-win swing in a single season. So I think the
exactly.
Vikings are.
And here's the thing. Sam Darnold did great under the situation. What if J.J. McCarthy is actually better? And not, like, miles better. Like, what if he's just a little bit better? And granted, they're going to have a tougher schedule, but they're still a double-digit win team. Like, come on.
Speaking
and
of
the Bears,
Sam,
I'm not going to fall for the Bears. Go on.
Speaking of Sam, wouldn't then you could also argue that the Seahawks are underrated?
Underrated? I'm sorry. Did they inherit the Minnesota Vikings team?
No, but
and
we
they're
inherited
overrated.
Like the oddest offensive coordinator of like the first
look,
3 weeks last year before
look, look
like everyone's team died.
Look at me with a straight face and tell me right now Sam Darnold is a massive improvement from Geno Smith.
I think he's about the same. I think the OC is a massive improvement over
what's
last year's
OC. The OC is a massive improvement. Get out of here. You have
I
over
the
hill Cooper
is...
Cup. I think you have a very good chance to fuck up JSN this year. And it's I could see the Seahawks being hot or cold. I don't see where the improvement is. How many games did you win last year? That's about where you should be. If it was at a, like eight between 8 and 9, then fair. Fine. They're fine. But
we went first thing. We went 10-7. Yeah, we went 10-7.
Okay,
we were the only 10-win team not to make the playoffs, which is
okay. Then it's a fine line. It's a fine line. It's not. It's a fine line.
And our schedule is sort of okay, to be honest. So
yeah, it's a fine line.
I don't know. I'm looking at before our bye, so the first 7 games, we play the banged up San Francisco 49ers, and it's at home.
Stop it.
I mean, like. It is like very, they are very banged up. So
they're about to be one of the best teams in the NFL. Mark my words.
I don't know, man. I feel like the Niners are going to be quite shit.
I feel like you're being a hater right now and you're about to eat your words this year.
Man, I'm looking at our schedule. I don't think I'm insane for saying that we could be undefeated going into the bye. Because we face the Niners at home. We go to Pittsburgh. We face the Saints at home. Then we go to the Cardinals. We face the Bucks at home. We go to the Jags. And then, like, maybe the toughest matchup is Texans at home. Texans off a bye.
The Texans' offensive line is rough. Really rough, honestly.
Can't you make the argument that we're maybe, like, live to be undefeated until the bye? I know, Jim. Okay, so can you give me 2 teams that you think are overrated? So you gave me 1 already with the Cardinals.
Overrated as fuck.
So can you find
me? Are you
me
ready?
Give it to me straight.
The Washington Commanders aren't going to win 9.5 games.
I agree. I think they could be one of those teams that takes a step back on year 2.
Yep.
Like much like the Texans last year.
Yep.
Because they play an easy schedule last year. They play a last place standing. So they got a weaker schedule for them to play. And this year, I think, like, I still don't trust that Quinn is a very good head coach. And like, I don't know, man. I feel like they could be one of those teams that is going to have a setback. The one thing that leaves me wondering if I agree with that or not is just the fact that last year with Stroud, most people were on board saying that the Texans are going to be great. They're going to keep the momentum going.
Yeah,
absolutely. And it just went sideways. And this year, it seems like everyone is on board saying that Jaden Daniels is going to regress. The Commanders are going to regress. So it feels like everyone is getting on the bandwagon. And I feel like when everyone thinks of that, the NFL is just so unpredictable. And it could just be that the Commanders keep rolling. So initial thoughts, I agree. But that leaves me with some doubts.
He's like, the consensus is always wrong. Go against the consensus. Fucking edgelord over here.
Pretty much.
Coming up with hot takes. I think the Commanders are actually going to improve. Fucker.
Well, you know what? You know what team is overrated?
What?
The Philadelphia Eagles. They're not winning 12 games. I'm sorry.
Stop it. Stop this. Stop the
defense is one of the youngest in the league. They lost a bunch of talent on defense. The offense is a year older.
But that year is the difference between the Cardinals winning four more games. Fuck out of here. No.
Yeah, dude.
I would ask what the Eagles did to you, but last year is the proof. You rode them, you lost every single week, and then during the playoffs, you rode them some more, and you were wrong all the way up into the Super Bowl, and then they demolished the Chiefs. So, yes, they hurt you. They hurt you bad. They hurt you right in the softest spot, which is the pride. So I get it. They hurt you. It's okay.
You know what's going to be fun?
Forgive them.
You know what's going to be fun?
What?
Is when tonight the Cowboys beat them. And like everyone is out on the Cowboys because the Cowboys traded away Micah Parsons and they did this and that and they don't have a running back and they don't have this and that. And they just go in there. And do you know that Dak Prescott has never lost in Philly?
Alex.
No, he has never thrown an interception in Philly.
That's nice. That's probably about to change.
I'll tell you right now.
Right to Cooper DeJean.
No, he played there last year. So he is 122 for 189, 1,420 passing yards, 11 touchdowns, no interceptions, 104.8 passer rating.
You want a cookie?
No, I'm just saying it's going to be very interesting when that happens. This night. So I'll just tell you this. And this win total of 12 for the Eagles is. The Eagles are winning 10 games at best.
Bookmark it, people. So when the Eagles are sitting at 12 games again, then.
Another team that is completely overrated again, it's the Niners at 10.5.
Oh my God.
Dude.
The Niners are about to run roughshod over everyone, and they play a fourth place schedule. Like, the Niners schedule is so soft, I've been drafting the 49ers defense in the last round of every fantasy league because like they're gonna dominate people. They're gonna take people to domination station. You're not gonna be happy about week one.
Oh, I remember all of that chat last year. And I believe it was only like on week, 13 or 14 when they were like absolutely dead in the water that you were like, okay, maybe now they're not gonna like sacrifice teams. And they ended up 6-9.
They are. You're the first sacrifice. Congratulations. You should feel good about yourself.
I know. Who are they passing the ball to? Where are they passing the ball to?
They're passing it to George Kittle and rookie Pearsall, baby. Let's not forget about that whole little Christian McCaffrey guy either. Best running backs of a generation. That's all.
Yeah.
That's all.
The guy who needed to go to Germany to check his hamstrings because they were falling apart. Yeah, that guy sounds like he can really last 17 games. I'll tell you right now.
He's perfectly fine. This is a new year, buddy. This is a new year.
Yeah. We know that hamstrings don't linger in anything, right? Muscle injuries rarely do. Soft tissue injuries rarely do, right? That's going to be great. I'm sure.
It'll be fine. You're overreacting. It's okay.
I think they don't get more than 8 wins. Tops. 7-8 wins.
8 wins!
For the Niners. It's an improvement. Last year they had 6.
I cannot believe you. I cannot believe the slander you're already putting on the 49ers name, and the season hasn't even fucking started. I hope you get destroyed. I hope you get demolished. I hope next week I'm coming in here and I'm just starting with a laugh track, just laughing at how stupid that take was and you guys, how incompetent you guys look compared to the 49ers. That's happening, by the way. Spoiler alert, that's my pick.
I'm sure you think that it is. Well, by the way, let me just check the line real quick. I mean, this is a quick hammer on the Seahawks. Like, us being underdogs at home versus the Niners,
Oh, buddy.
Is it double digits?
No.
Then I'm taking the Niners.
Brother, it's not even 3 points, so.
It should be double digits.
Brother, we're going to kill the Niners.
You're going to get destroyed by the Niners. And then you're going to come back. This. And then you're going to come back on this. Here next week. And then you're going to apologize. You're going to apologize to the 49ers for your wrong, terrible takes, Alex. You're going to apologize. So get ready for that. You better start your apologies.
I think we're going to win by over double digits. So.
No, you're not. You're taking the long road to L Street, and you'll be apologizing.
There was another thing that we maybe need to discuss football wise. Before we maybe go into the bets, since it's almost midnight here. But Micah Parsons, what did you think of the trade? Because we were supposed to have Austin here. Austin wasn't able to join the little
bit. Austin's cheerleading this whole thing. He's team build it down, burn it down. He's all ecstatic. But like, let's be real. I think they got more for Micah Parsons than the Bears got, or the Bears got, the Raiders got for Khalil Mack.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
Let me double check, because I think Khalil Mack went for like 2 firsts, a second.
I thought it was only 2 firsts and a second.
Yeah, but like the Cowboys only got 2 firsts, right?
And Kenny Clark, a D tackle.
No, they got 2 firsts, a third, a sixth for Micah Parsons, a second, and a fifth.
Okay, maybe so, not.
Then. I don't know. Like third and sixth, maybe worth about a second. I don't know. Maybe yeah. Maybe they got more than what the Raiders got. Because like, if you have a third round pick, would you add the sixth to it to move up to the second?
A high third, maybe. Yeah.
So, yeah, I think they kind of got more. It's like the second and the third and sixth kind of override themselves, or is a slight win towards the guy getting the second. So it's basically like a bit less than 2 firsts for the little Mac. Yeah, I think they got a bit more than that for Micah Parsons. I don't know. I've been saying in the past that I don't think Micah Parsons is that great for them. Because
the Packers?
I don't think No, for the Cowboys. Because I don't think he is an absolute great head rusher. I think he's more of a hybrid guy between
I think he is. What? I think he's a really good head rusher. Yeah, he's a really good head rusher, man.
I feel like when the situation really matters though. You rarely see a play like, I don't know, to end the drive on a fourth down, to win a game and just finish up the game by getting a sack or something like that. You rarely see Micah Parsons in those big moments, I feel like. And although he's a head rusher and he's a good head rusher, and I think he's maybe even a great head rusher, I don't think he's like a massively clutch game or head rusher. Like he's not a TJ Watt in that sense. When you see TJ Watt making those plays to end those drives, to end those games. And I don't think you see that a lot with Micah Parsons. So I would say that they actually got a very solid deal, especially like if the conversation about his vertebrates is actually correct and he's actually hurt, which seems to be the case here, and seems to be like he needs to be getting shots in order to play all of the games. I think they got maybe a very good deal for Parsons. I believe it's the L4 and the L6 that has some sort of issue. I think it's a fairly solid deal that they got for him.
Yeah. Oh, you mean the Cowboys?
Yeah, I'm saying the Cowboys.
Oh yeah, I agree with that. I think this is blown out of proportion. I think the whole you traded one of the top 3 or 5 best defensive players for 2 firsts and Kenny Clark. Like I think that's rage bait. Like if the situation backstage was as untenable as people are making it out to be, they were not re-signing Micah Parsons. Fact or fiction?
Fact.
So if you're not re-signing the best top three defensive player, what would you rather do? When you have historically not done absolute jack shit in the playoffs, run it one more time and see what happens and then lose them for nothing. Or get a defensive tackle to, you know, help bolster that line after you lose one of your best players on that line and get two first round picks. And you get to roll the dice again. Maybe those two first round picks becomes worth something more than Micah. That's probably not likely, but that's better than running it back, having a top three defensive player for a year, and then having nothing.
I agree. I agree. I think that's fact. My main concern with all of this is the way that Jerry handled it. I think it just proves that Jerry's absolutely like,
oh, he's over there.
Out of
he's,
his depth at
gone.
This point.
He needs gone.
Yeah.
He needs like, taken into the cornfield. Like
when you come out with arguments that like you need to sit at the table with only the player, like the agent doesn't matter. Like that's very 1990s talk about the NFL. Like the players want what's best for their career long term.
Mafia Don Jerry Jones.
Yeah, it is like very a mafia. Yeah, it's like you want to get the player in there alone. You want to give him the deal that you want. You want him to paint this as this great deal, and in the fine lines, you're in the small print, you're gonna add some of those shady clauses from the 1990s or something like that, and you're gonna fuck up the player. And the player just wants a fair chance of getting what's best for his career. And Jerry's like, absolutely not. Get fucked. Get bent over, bitch. So it's like, how does someone negotiate with that? It's even worse than negotiating with the Bengals. And it pissed off the team, apparently.
I mean, to be fair, at least the Bengals got an extra year out of their player. Like, Micah wasn't coming back for an extra year. So.
Apparently, reports came out today that he was never going to see it out. That he was going to play the year out if he didn't get a new deal.
He was going to see the year out?
Yeah, he was going to play it.
Micah?
Yeah.
So that was exactly their options. They get one more year of a top three defensive player and see if they can make a run. Good luck with that. You haven't done that in forever. Or you try and get shit for them. And something is better than nothing. At the end of the day, 2 4-year contracts and whatever Kenny Clark is on is probably better than one expiring deal.
Yeah, I think the return that they got for him is fine. I think the way that they handled business.
Oh, absolutely terrible.
Like,
absolutely.
You're
fucking
terrible. Up your chances of ever getting good free agents and getting good extensions.
It makes me as a Bengals fan blush. It's like, oh, someone else goes through that now. Oh.
And that's saying a lot, I guess. Okay. So we went through some of the main lines from the offseason. Again, we can't cover everything in like the small time that we have right now. We are planning on doing another show tomorrow, right?
Fuck yeah, I'm off tomorrow. Fuck it, Weeball. Yeah. We need to be back, baby. It is the NFL season. The break is over. You know, you went out, you touched grass, you experienced life. I, you know, fucking hate myself because I work a bunch of hours, but I experienced that. So now it's time.
I haven't touched grass in your country. That's about to come.
Oh no. Fucking hell.
Yeah. Everything is sad.
I got a spare bedroom.
Unfortunately, I can't. I'm going to New York, but unfortunately, I can't get a ticket to any NFL game because the closest one, just my luck, is the fucking Philadelphia Eagles.
You're telling me you can't get a Browns game? They can't. They're giving away tickets, Alex.
Yeah, but it's like how long is the drive, or at least like a train ride from fucking New York to Cleveland.
There is no train ride, probably, but the drive is probably like 5 hours.
Yeah, dude, I can't convince a group of four to go on a 5-hour drive to watch the fucking Cleveland Browns, bro.
You know what? You know what, Alex? If they were American, you fucking could have. All right.
No, I couldn't because it's the Browns, Angela. Like, I can convince them to go watch, like, the Chiefs. I can convince them going to watch one of those teams.
My destination.
The fucking Browns.
My destination to New York. Let's go. Oh, I underestimated it. It's an 8-hour drive for me to New York.
Can you imagine me making the bitch of, okay, we're going to watch an NFL game. It's going to be an 8-hour drive to watch the worst franchise ever.
The tickets will be cheap. Tickets are probably $30.
Yeah, bro. I still can't convince them I'm going on an 8-hour drive. To watch the fucking shitty Cleveland Browns. And then, like, the Philadelphia Eagles, the tickets are like $300 a piece. And it's going to be like a 2-3 hour drive.
How mad would you be? You'd be seething if that was the game you went to. You had to fly to America to watch the fucking Eagles.
Imagine. Yeah, and just more like no team plays in New York.
No team plays in New York. The closest. Oh, I'm about to say the closest.
No, that
is
weekend.
Buffalo.
No, but
oh,
like,
no.
New Jersey,
oh, the
nothing.
Bills,
the
Jets. Oh,
nope.
Wow.
None of them. None of them play at home. I believe one of them is on bye. And
I
the
love
rest,
that for you.
They're all the way.
I love that for
so
you.
So the best option for me right now, and again, hard
that.
To pitch.
I love this. I love every second of
watch,
this.
It's go watch the Baltimore Ravens. Because Baltimore, when I checked, was like a 4-hour drive, 4.5-hour drive. 4.5 hours from train, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. And the tickets are like $90. The cheapest ones that I found on the apps, it's like around $90. So that was the only option on the table. And then it is to go watch a college football game. But I'm not sure if there's like any massive colleges that are close enough. I think PSU is the closest, Penn State, but it's still way deep into Pennsylvania. So, and the tickets apparently are going to be hard to catch. Rutgers could be maybe the best thing to catch, but it's like my first American football experience to be watching a Rutgers game. Oh, it's just, come on, dude.
Let's go.
Fucking Rutgers. Who the fuck is even is a
and
Rutgers?
And the Eagles.
No, yeah, I can't watch the Eagles.
Watch the Eagles.
Dude, no, I'm not going to give $300 to watch the Eagles. I'm sorry.
Give them $300. It's worth your money.
It is pretty much not worth my money.
And it's worth your money.
Do Rutgers play at home in the week that I'm there? No, fuck. They're at Purdue. Oh, I'm fucking bent over. Like, why is no team playing in New York in the week that I go to New York? For fuck's sakes. Okay. We're going to find something out. But at least I'm going to watch a Brooklyn Nets game. Because, yeah, I'm going to watch a Brooklyn Nets game. Because the Knicks play 3 times in the week that I'm there, all the way. It's just like, it's perfect, right?
It is perfect. Thank you. Thank you very much. We should get out of these picks, buddy, if you want to leave before,
It's time. Okay, it's time. Okay. So, as people know, we usually run the segments of we discuss the picks. We pick every single game, the betting line on every single
review.
Game, the spread on every
single
game.
That's not happening this
year. Then we review.
It's not happening.
What's not happening?
We're not going to review every single game, but we are going to make the picks.
We're going to make the picks. Yeah, last year, I think we only made the picks. Then we just, like, picked a few of the minerals. Maybe we can review the games a bit as the season goes on if we don't have a lot of talking points. But we're going to at least make the picks.
It's at our discretion, damn it.
Yeah, it's our show, so get bent.
Exactly.
So first game. We have the Dallas Cowboys. That's the game from tonight. The Dallas Cowboys at the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles are 7.5-point favorites at home. It is the big opening weekends.
And I think everyone is running off the Cowboys. But I think at 7.5, like, that's over a touchdown. I think I'm just going to go with the Cowboys.
They're... Fuck!
If it was 6.5, you'd probably go Eagles, but the 7.5...
The 7.5 does cause the pause.
It's the first game. Are you really going to see a blowout in the first game of the season?
Yeah.
Dak never threw an interception in Philadelphia.
You know what, Alex? Fuck you. I am going the Eagles. Fuck the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. Fuck their competency. You know what? I don't even think this is going to hit, but I just want to be against you. Fuck you.
Fuck you. I like it. Okay, let's start making mistakes early so I can get some ground.
Yep.
Okay. You go for the next one.
Yep. The next one, it should be the same for us. The next one for me is the Chiefs versus the Chargers.
Yeah.
The Chargers are at home. Okay, good. It's on YouTube. YouTube! Let's go! The Chiefs are favored by 3.5 points. The Chargers are boring as fuck. Give me the Chiefs. 3.5, covering it.
I think I'm right there with you. I can see the Chargers just losing this game in like a very Chargers-like fashion.
I can too, like, but you know what's about to happen? Amarian Hampton is about to go ham. You know what? I didn't even get to say my hot take. By the end of this season, Ashton Jeanty might be the running back three of this class. There's my hot take. Go on.
Just so I can pour some cold water in that take. Let me just double check if I saw this correctly early.
Cold water. Okay. We don't need cold water.
Najee Harris is expected to start versus the Charger.
Fuck Najee Harris. He's never been good and he's not going to be good. Go on.
Hey, I'm just telling you, he is expected to start versus Najee, versus the Chiefs. So
he's getting sacrificed to the Lambs.
Right. You know how this game is going to go? The Chargers
are up three.
The Chargers are up three. There's 3 minutes to go. The Chiefs score a touchdown, and they win this game by 4.
Oh, yeah.
Simple as. This is just... They're going to win this game like, I don't know, 31-27. It's going to be one of those games. Okay, after that, the Bucs at the Atlanta Falcons. The Bucs are 2.5-point favorites away versus the Falcons. I think the Falcons are going to be a solid team, but I'm just going to go with the experience, the well-built team of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They're just going to pick up where they left off last year, and they're going to win this game. I think the Falcons, down the line, even mid-season, I think they're going to be a very solid team. I just think the Bucs are... very solid at this point. So give me the Bucs.
This is make or break for the Falcons, I think. I think how many years can we say Kyle Pitts is going to happen?
I don't think anyone is saying that anymore. I'll tell you right now.
No. They've given up. That's why it's the perfect time to get off. But this, I think, is going to be like leash off for Michael Penix. He gets to show what he can do. I do think he's better than people give him credit for. Give me the Falcons to cover this. I think they're actually winning this game. And not only that, I think it's going to be a high-scoring game, too. I think we're looking like 38 or 35-28 territory.
You know what? Great for the Cowboys. Mazi Smith is inactive today. So their first-round pick from last year. Inactive today. Great scouting. Great work, guys. Lovely.
Go Eagles.
Okay.
Fly, Eagles, fly. Die, okay. Cowboys, die. Next is the Bengals and the Browns. There's not much to talk about. I've already given my whole soliloquy on this. Give me the Bengals. They're going to rout them. They're going to destroy them. They're going to dismantle them. They're going to embarrass them, and they're going to show the Browns that they're the second-tier football team that they actually are. Go on. 21-0.5.
With you. I can't pick the team that is starting Joe Flacco, Jerry Jeudy, David Njoku, and who's even starting at running back? Is it like Kareem Hunt, Dylan Sampson?
It's Jerome Ford. Man. It's Jerome Ford with Dylan Sampson being
Ford.
The
oh, Jesus Christ, dude. It's yeah. just like, it's, God, give me the Bengals. But yeah, against this, my better is, judgment, because my judgment
this is
going to
be a slaughter.
Pick the
no,
Browns.
This is the right judgment. The Browns are about to get slaughtered. The Browns are about to be exposed. They're about to be shown that they're a second-rate NFL franchise. And we've noted all along. Telling you,
okay.
I actually have faith in this. I really, this is not bullshit. This is not like soliloquy. I understand the Bengals historically have a slow start. I understand the Bengals historically have been bad against the Browns. I have so much confidence that the Bengals are about to go out and just slaughter the Browns week one.
All right.
It's your
this line. I really don't get. It's Miami at Indianapolis.
Either.
Indianapolis is a 1.5 favorite. Like this is not cold weather yet, so give me just Miami.
This is Alex thinking Anthony Richardson is starting hopium line. Like
no. It is Daniel Jones starting, so this is even more of a baffling line. It's just like I think Miami's gonna run over them. Really, dude. Give me Miami, dude.
Miami.
The vibes around Miami, like no one really likes Miami this year because Tyreek threw me a tweet. Mike Daniels, it looks like he has been, I don't know, he looks completely done. Like, the guy that joined Miami and the guy that is currently there, he looks like he has been through a 10-year coke drive. Like, just doing coke every single day. It's quite weird what has happened to him. But I still think, like, this is a very solid team. They're gonna do the same game plan that they've always done. They're gonna win games at this point. Like, especially early on in the season, like, two is going to be accurate.
Yeah.
It's not cold yet, so, hey.
I think Miami. The Miami Dolphins, like, win line and just overall vibe of them around, like, just pundits has gone full circle, and I think it's time to, like, zig when others zag. And I do think Miami is going to come off to a strong start. Like I said, I think you're right about the cold weather. I think the concerns about Tua is legit. It's if he gets knocked out, it's done skis. It's over. But I'm not going to go in with the mindset that a guy is about to lose his NFL career and potentially his, you know, well-being. So give me Miami. Yeah, absolutely. So
all right.
Next up, go ahead.
No, go.
Next up is the Jaguars versus the Panthers. You know what? I'm gonna fall for this pony again. Call it hopium. Call it what you want. Give me the Jaguars at home to get it done against a pathetic Panthers team.
Brother, I think this game is gonna be the wake up game for a lot of people down in the Carolina Panthers. I think the Jags again keep being overhyped. They draft Travis Hunter. They have Brian Thomas Jr. People think that this offense is gonna go nuts.
Brian Thomas,
Trevor Lawrence,
the next top receiver in the NFL.
Yeah, for sure. Trevor Lawrence, like great QB. It's gonna be his year finally. Like, I don't know, been hearing that for the last 5 years, but this is gonna be his year. He's gonna do great. Brian Cohen is just absolutely crazy as well. He's a great coach. All of that great spiel, I guess. I think they lose to the Panthers fairly clean. I can see this being a loss by a touchdown. Panthers are just the better team. They have the better QB.
Nope.
They have the better coach.
Lies. Slander.
Nah. They got the better Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tampa Bay Buccaneers coordinator. So
this guy.
Tough luck.
If you say so.
And I'm getting points with the Panthers.
Yeah, you're getting points.
This is a fluke loss to the Jags. It's going to be by 3 points at most. So. All right. Las Vegas Raiders at the New England Patriots. The Patriots are 3.5-point favorites. Straight up, give me the Patriots. I think this is going to be a close game. But just give me the Patriots. I think they're the better team, top to bottom. I think they have the better QB. They have a better running back than the Raiders do.
I'm so conflicted with this.
I thought you were going to be surprised by me saying that they have a better running back than the Raiders do, but okay.
So you're on board. You're on board with Genty being potentially the third best running back of this class.
I don't know, man. I always like Trevion Anderson, so I'm here for
I like
it.
Them all I think, too, buddy.
I think the Patriots are just the more complete team. I think they are. They have the better coach. I still like Pete Carroll, but I still think that Pete Carroll is a bit like past his time at this point. So give me the Patriots. I think 3.5 is solid. I think the Patriots are going to be a very solid team this year. They're going to be solid defensively. They're going to be a run heavy team. Travion Anderson can break one home free, and like Ramondre Stevenson, he has the speed. He has the vision. Give me the Patriots.
I think I'm more on board with. I'm actually not sure how this game is going to go. I'm kind of on board with the, like, I want to wait and see before I believe the Patriots. So give me the Raiders. I don't think this is going to be a necessarily good game. I think this is going to be a boring game, and I think 3.5 points is a little bit too much for one side to get. So give me the Raiders. Next up. Oh, Lord. The Saints against the Arizona Cardinals. Oh boy, this is bad. I can't even go on a Derek Carr rant about this. The Saints look bad. The Saints look bad. The Saints might be worse than the Browns. At least the Browns have some things to like look forward to. Yeah, give me the Cardinals to cover the 6.5. Yeah, I can't talk myself into this.
I'm right there with you. Give me the Cardinals. I think that Spencer Rattler is going to be solid. That said, though, this team is quite cheap. The only guy that I can trust in that team to do anything is Kamara, because he's going to get a ton of dump offs.
Olave. So I have faith in Olave, but Olave is also kind of in a situation.
But Olave is just going to get concussed again. Like, we've been here before. This is like, it's another guy that this is going to be his year. And it's just going to be the year that he gets concussed again. So I like him coming out. But hey, it's been fun.
I still like Olave. But yeah.
It's been real. Let's get to the next, like, rising star guy. Okay. Speaking of guys from OSU, the Pittsburgh Steelers, they go and face the New York Jets. In New Jersey, the Jets are 3.5-point underdogs in this game. Even at home, they are underdogs. Who would have guessed? I guess. And yeah, like there's gonna be the revenge game narrative for Justin Fields. I'm aware it's gonna be all of that great thing. Give me the Steelers. It's gonna be 3.5. It's gonna be a win by 7. They finally have a solid QB, not the fraud that is Justin Fields. You know what? For fantasy, I think Jalen Warren is going to be very good this year. Everyone is hyping up the rookie that they drafted, the Caleb Johnson. Everyone is hyping him up. I mean, Warren got the extension this past weekend, if I'm not mistaken. He's going to get a bunch of dump offs. Caleb Johnson is right now the third running back on the depth chart. He's going to get a ton of dump offs. Jalen Warren is. And like, who do you really have as targets with the Steelers? It is DK Metcalf. Then you have the who's the guys that they have? They have the speedster. They have the guy that they drafted last year, Austin. With Roman Wilson. Yeah, Calvin Austin. They have Roman Wilson from last year. Like, I can see Jalen Warren getting a bunch of dump offs from Aaron Rodgers at this point.
He won't. But do you know why he won't?
Why?
Because Jonnu Smith is back in the Arthur Smith offense.
Oh, buddy. That's going to need like crack. Oh, Jonnu back with Arthur Smith. Oh, buddy. It's the gift that keeps on giving. He's gonna be such a good option for fantasy. You just know that Arthur Smith is just like the most happy guy in the building when they got Jonnu. Like, Pat Freiermuth, he'll take a fucking hike. Get bent,
yeah,
brother. It's going to be the John Smith. Like, bet who? Give me John Smith, bro. It's just going to be the screens to John Smith.
Like, Aaron Rodgers can't move for shit. I swear he is. John is.
I mean, he just had a very good season last year as well.
He did.
With the Miami Dolphins.
Yep.
I'm telling you, he's going to have a great season, like, especially in PPR. He's going to get peppered with targets.
Yep, absolutely.
Like, I could see a vision
in which Jonnu Smith is like an 8-target per game type of guy. It's absolutely insane that we're doing this. Like, Pat Freiermuth, get fucking bent over, you crappy tight end. Like, who are you next to the great Jonnu Smith? Like, people are going to be so mad at Arthur Smith because he's not targeting Pat Freiermuth. And it's going to be no fucks given because they're going to win 9 to 10 games still. So win is what it is. The sound that you're hearing is just the people, the thin-skinned people crying about the fact that their Pat Freiermuth shares are going to the toilet. So,
Yep.
Steelers, -3.5. Who do you got?
I'm going to let Justin hurt me at least a week. Give me the Jets. Brother. Give me the Jets. Brother. Give me the Jets!
Okay.
They're going to win this game outright. I think the Aaron Rodgers, Arthur Smith, like, marriage is a terrible marriage. It's destined for divorce. And, like, no way. No, I got to see it. I got to see this be functional before I believe it's functional. So, yes, give me the Jets. So, anyway, next. New York Giants, Washington Commanders. Washington at home and are favored by 5.5 points. Believe it or not, I got the Giants in this one. I do. I think Malik is going to style on them. I think I still think the Commanders are probably going to win this game, but I do think they cover this 5.5 point spread.
You like everyone is on the Giants this week? I don't know. It feels like the right side is the Giants, but everyone is on the Giants. Everyone is fading the Commanders this year. Like, Daniels is gonna take a dive. His stats, like, the Commander's gonna take a dive. I can't, man. I can't just see, like, everyone being correct about this. There's too much unpredictability in the NFL. Like, everyone can't be correct on this. Just give me the Commanders. Against my better judgment, I think the Giants are the right side with +5.5. It's a divisional game. I do think that the Commanders have a setback because last year's schedule was really that easy, but it can't be this easy. I'm gonna risk it and be wrong on week one. Give me the Commanders -5.5 to keep what they have from last year and, like, everyone being wrong on them, basically. After that, we have the Tennessee Titans at the Denver Broncos. The Broncos are 7.5 point favorites, and I'm gonna hit the number. With Denver, I don't know what to expect out of Cam Ward. I don't know what to expect out of that Tennessee Titans team. Tony Pollard is their only running back. Tajay Spears is hurt. They still only have Calvin Ridley as the main wide receiver. They have that random rookie fourth rounder pick. There's a lot of uncertainty with this Titans team. I'm just going to take the Bo Nix that I know. I'm going to take the Sean Payton that I know. So again, I have the better QB, I have the better coach, I have the better weapons in Sutton and Marvin Mims. I have the better running back, probably. Just give me the Broncos, man.
Give me the Titans. We're going to start with this early. I do think Cam Ward is going to be an improvement. And the Titans work like terrible outside of quarterback play. I do think 7.5 is too many points, and I do think they're going to be covering this.
Oh, sure. Sure, so, they weren't terrible. I guess that's why they picked first overall. Because they were that great. I'm sure that it's only the QB that is missing. I'm sure.
Next, let's just make this tweet simple. The sacrifice is coming back, and the Seahawks are about to be the first victims. Just give me the 49ers. Just make the easy pick and just pass. Just make the easy pick, Alex. Make it a pass.
What hurts here is that the lines are going to adjust so quickly on the Niners. And it's not going to be like last year where, like, you're going to be fooled with the Niners every single week. It's going to be the sacrifice every single week. And then, like, by week 11, they're 3-7 or some shit like that. And you're like, okay, the sacrifice isn't coming. Now, I think the adjustment's going to be quick on this one. And by week 4, it's going to reflect that the Niners are not a great team. So give me the Seahawks. Give me the points with the Seahawks. We're at home. I think the new offense is going to rock. I think we're going to catch them. We're going to punch them in the mouth. They won't know what hit them. And we're going to roll all over the San Francisco 49ers, really. I think they're going to get punched in the mouth a couple times, and they won't know what hit them. And it's just going to be over like that.
That's unbelievable.
Next up, it's the Detroit Lions at the Green Bay Packers. This is a weird game because, again, much like the Commanders, everyone seems to be wanting to fade the Lions because they lost their coordinators. They lost all of those good things. I don't know. I feel like this is going to be the year in which Dan Campbell gets his dues, gets his coach of the year, because it's going to be the year in which the Lions are still going to be great. They still have the motivation, the drive, the team. And if they get another great season, what are you going to do? Like, you can't really point the finger to Dan Campbell and be like, yeah, no, he has the best coordinator in the game or the best defensive coordinator in the game. No, like, he lost all of it. So I think this is going to be the statement from Dan Campbell, and I think it starts at Green Bay. So give me the Lions plus 2.5. Like, being underdogs is, to me, is crazy. So.
So you're going to go with the Lions, huh?
The Lions.
Give me the Packers here. I do think the offensive line is lessened. I do think the Packers are scarier. I do think Jordan Love is back, and I do think he is going to be spreading the ball around. The Packers,
I think we kind of forget that the Lions, by like midseason, they looked unstoppable. But they had a ton of injuries. Like, Hutchinson was out.
He was.
CJ Gardner-Johnson was out. All of those guys were out. Like, they really didn't add anyone there playing defense. And they still steamrolled teams. And now everyone should be back. So, like, the defensive line is improved. I don't know how great the Packers are going to set up their run game. I just feel like I think advantage goes to the Lions here because they kept most of the pieces on that roster. I think it's going to be a very solid roster still.
We'll see.
I think they're going to roll.
We shall see. I do think that the Packers are one of the hardest teams to line for because they can just get stupid hot enough that no matter what the line is, it doesn't matter. But I do think the Lions are the same way. So I think this will be a good game. This is probably one of the top two games of the week. All right, so my turn. We got the LA Rams at the Houston, or not at, the Houston Texans at the LA Rams. The LA Rams are favored by 3.5 points. I think we've been underselling this Matthew Stafford injury, and he's actually more hurt than we believe. And because of that, give me the Texans. I don't think the Rams without Matthew Stafford is as much of a threat. We're going. No, that's me.
I think I'm, as much as it cost me to pick CJ Stroud, I think you're right there. Like, I don't know what's up with Matthew Stafford, but this doesn't sound great. The weapons are still there, but if like if Stafford isn't 100%, and like at this point they're saying like he's gonna need to take injections before every single game, it's gonna be all of that weird thing with him. I don't know, man. I feel like 3.5 points feels like too much for them to cover with all of that adversity. So just give me the Texans. We could be wrong, and again, it could be just that we're fading again, or at least I am fading again, the Rams. They're like, this is going to be the year that they downfall.
Oh, no.
And
I don't fade the Rams until I see a reason to fade the Rams. And this is a reason to fade the Rams. Matthew Stafford not being under center is a reason to fade the Rams, buddy. Like, or potentially getting hurt in that game. Yeah. Like, getting knocked out of that game early. Yeah, absolutely. So, I think you do the next one. Never mind.
Right. Baltimore Ravens at the Buffalo Bills. The Bills are 1.5 point favorite. I honestly think that this is a coin flip game. I think it's going to be a great game.
It's the actual game of the week.
Yeah, it's gonna be Sunday Night Football. It's gonna be the best time. Everyone is gonna be watching this. Money's gonna go heavy on every single thing in this game because it's the most exciting game of the week, basically. Right now, I'm going points. I'm going Baltimore with the points. Again, it's really a coin flip. This is a 50-50 game. I wouldn't be shocked if the Bills win. I'm going to take the points in case if it's just like one of those fluky games in which the Bills win by a late field goal that gets them a win by 1 point, because I think it could be one of those games. So yeah, give me the Baltimore Ravens plus 1.5. It's purely because of the points, really, because I think it's going to be a coin flip. It's going to be a great game, but a coin flip game.
Yeah, give me the Bills. I think the Bills are going to win this outright. I think the Ravens, especially defensively, are a lot weaker than people want to make them out to be. And I think Buffalo is stronger, too, on the offense. They added Joshua Palmer. I think that's going to be a huge thing because their weakness as far as their receiving core goes was against man coverage, and Palmer is fairly good against man coverage. Yeah, I think the Bills are going to win. That's just my take. Also, I think Lamar's overrated. And finally.
As we know.
And finally, the Minnesota Vikings versus the Chicago Bears. The Chicago Bears, again, it's a situation where I got to see it to believe the hype. Give me the Vikings. Even with a rookie quarterback, it seems like the Vikings offense is can't miss no matter what. Justin Jefferson is amazing. Kevin O'Connell is an amazing coach. Just that simple. Give me the Vikings.
I'm going to take the first week to see what's up with J.J. McCarthy. I'm going to take the Bears plus 1.5. I think Caleb bounces back to the number one overall pick sort of talent that we know he can be. I think Ben Johnson is going to work his magic there with the Bears. I think this is going to be a very potent offense this year. So I'm just going to go, I've seen Caleb. I've seen Caleb do good things. I've never seen J.J. McCarthy on the field. In an NFL field, that is. So I'm just going to go with what I know. And I'm going to go with Chicago plus 1.5. I think the pieces are there for Chicago. I think the coach is there for Chicago. I don't know what to expect out of J.J. McCarthy. I expect good things. I think he's going to be a good QB. But I've never seen it. So that's going to be the rationale for this pick. Plus 1.5 for me for Chicago. So can you give me your minerals, Angelo?
Oh, the I'm taking this to the bank on? Yeah, Bengals so give me demolishing the Browns are definitely whatever, gold, whatever the highest one is.
Okay, so Cincinnati minus what line did we have? So 6.5 or 5.5?
Five and a half.
Okay, so minus 5.5. Silver, so your second favorite pick.
No, it's my favorite. It's top.
And no, I'm saying top. The silver pick is what?
Oh, okay. The silver
pick. The other one is gold.
Minnesota to beat the Bears.
Okay.
And bronze, one I don't feel as good about. Give me the Falcons to cover against Tampa Bay.
Okay.
I think I should have gone with
Rams. No Rams. No Seahawks. No Dolphins. Nothing like that. Okay, I see you. All right. So the one you said last was Atlanta plus 2.5. Okay, for mine, I'm going to go to gold pick. I'm going to go with Miami. Miami plus 1.5 is going to be my gold pick. My silver pick is going to be Carolina plus 3.5. And finally, to complete the underdog team, I'm going to go with Seattle plus 2.5 points versus the San Francisco 49ers. So that's it. Little recap. Miami plus 1.5. Carolina plus 3.5. Seahawks plus 2.5 are my picks in order. Angelo is Cincinnati minus 5.5. Minnesota minus 1.5. And Atlanta plus 2.5. So there you go, folks. Those are the picks for us. That's the show for us. I hope you enjoyed it. I don't know if you have anything else to add, Angelo.
No, I'm good. I brought it today. I want to bring it tomorrow, and we just got to keep bringing it.
The idea is to have a show again tomorrow. Maybe talk a bit more about fantasy that we didn't get to much this segments. But yeah, we're back. I hope you guys enjoyed the show. If you're listening to this on the Spotify app, on the Apple Podcast app, make sure to leave us a 5-star review. Make sure to subscribe to the show. Turn on the other downloads as well. That really helps out. I'm not even going to say about the YouTube. So fuck you guys. It's just going to be, from now on, it's a New Year's resolution, a new football year resolution. We're only going to talk about the Spotify and the Apple Podcast app. The rest, I don't care. So yeah, guys, hope you enjoyed. We're back now. And as always, talk to you, I guess, tomorrow.
Talk to you later, guys.